Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Update on the Green Climate Fund. The Green Climate Fund, GCF, is a UN multilateral climate fund to help developing countries take climate action. Its 12th meeting was recently held at its headquarters in South Korea, in which the board reviewed policies of its founding goal of $2.5 billion and worked to accredit 13 new institutions. Real World Radio has interviewed Karen Orenstein from Friends of the Earth US to discuss recent developments of the GCF, including the challenges the fund faces, particularly in terms of its association with large international entities such as HSBC and Crédit Agricole. According to Orenstein, the recent GCF meeting had a large outcome. Formal partnerships were made with 13 institutions who have been accepted to receive and manage GCF funding, ranging from national entities to large private banks such as HSBC and Crédit Agricole. The partnership with the latter group have been met with much controversy, as the banking giants appear to be undermining the very purpose of the GCF. Both banks are top fossil fuel financers and part of the top 20 financers of coal, the dirtiest of fossil fuels. HSBC in particular has been wrapped up in a drug money laundering scandal. According to Orenstein, it's hard to see the board of the GCF partnering with a developed country institution with a record of financial scandals such as HSBC. Yet because HSBC is considered a too big to fail bank, the GCF is going ahead and formally work with them. It's an elite achievement and the opposite of what we've been looking for the GCF to do. Both HSBC and Crédit Agricole are noted to still be financing fossil fuels worth billions of dollars. Orenstein claims that while some believe that engaging with the GCF can help green their portfolio, she believes it is a form of greenwashing and that the GCF will help make them look good rather than actually making an impact. She further states that the purpose of the GCF is to serve the needs of ordinary people in developing countries, and it's hard to see why very scarce public resources for climate should be diverted away from developing country institutions and placed in massive multinational banks. Despite the fact that the GCF is supposed to be an alternative to these large entities, banking giants such as the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, the African Development Bank and the European Investment Bank are all now accredited with the GCF. According to Orenstein, many of this year's projects that are most likely to be funded are large international entities due to their judiciary standards. It appears that developing country institutions have a harder time due to the tensions between getting them ready to take on the responsibility and granting the funding quickly without compromising environmental integrity and social safeguards. However, Orenstein points out that there are contradictions with international finance corporations such as the World Bank, whose safeguards look fine on paper but are not actually implemented. A funded program called Readiness has been put in place in order to help prepare developing country institutions to work with the GCF and increase their capacity. Nevertheless, Orenstein claims that the priority is still given to large international institutions at the expense of developing countries due to the limited resources and capacity of the GCF. Orenstein stresses the need for the GCF to divert resources towards working with those in developing countries at the national and subnational level. Furthermore, she claims there's a need for more engagement by civil society, NGOs, and average people in order for the GCF to become an institution that is responsive to the needs of the people and not driven by governments and rich countries.
Real World Radio is interviewing Karen Orenstein from Friends of the Earth US. We will be discussing recent developments concerning the Global Climate Fund. Karen, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on.
And as I understand, you've recently returned from South Korea following a meeting at the GCF. Can you share with us what was the purpose of this meeting?
Sure. This was the 12th meeting of the board of the Green Climate Fund, which is a UN multilateral climate fund to help developing countries take climate action. And at this meeting, the board was supposed to get everything more in place to try to fund at the level of $2.5 billion this year. That's an aspirational goal. And as part of that process, they reviewed some policies, and then they also it's called accreditation. They accredited some entities, which means they sort of formally partner with these institutions that will then be allowed to receive and manage funds of the GCF. They accredited 13 new institutions. That was sort of the big outcome. And the institutions range from, you know, national institutions in Ethiopia and in Kenya to the International Finance Corporation, which is the private sector arm of the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and then all the way to large international private banks, HSBC, which is headquartered in the UK, in London, and Crédit Agricole, which is a French banking giant.
Okay, and regarding these two banking giants, HSBC and Crédit Agricole, there's recently been quite a bit of controversy, and they're claiming to undermine the very purpose of the GCF. Can you share what these two institutions are guilty of?
Sure. So we were part of a worldwide campaign to stop the GCF board from formally partnering with them, i.e. accrediting them. You know, both of those banks are top fossil fuel financiers. In fact, they're in the top 20 for financing coal, which is the dirtiest of the fossil fuels. They don't have good records on human rights, social justice, and generally on environmental protection. And HSBC in particular is plagued by one financial scandal after another and is currently in a lot of trouble for drug money laundering. And if there's a lot of reasons why you would not want climate polluting banks with long records of financial scandal and poor human rights to be formally affiliated with the GCF, and they would never. It's very hard to see the board of the Green Climate Fund partnering with a developing country institution with a record of financial scandal like HSBC. Yet because it's HSBC, a sort of too big to fail bank, the GCF is going ahead and formally working with them. It's sort of a special status as an accredited entity that they can, you know, receive and manage funds. It's a elite achievement, and it's sort of the opposite of what we've been looking for the Green Climate Fund to do.
Right. And we did do an interview in November 2015 where we actually spoke about some of these issues of these large banks being guilty of various issues such as poor human rights and financing the coal industry. Have there been any improvements in this area at all? Despite, you know, HSBC, have there been any improvements in regards to other banks or...
Well, I mean, you know, HSBC, Crédit Agricole, they will brag about their coal policies, and they do have policies in place that they didn't say 10 years ago, but they still are financing fossil fuels to the tune of billions of dollars. Now, some people think, well, if they engage with the Green Climate Fund, then that will help green their portfolio. Others, like myself, think that it's more about greenwashing, that the Green Climate Fund isn't going to have much of an impact on their portfolio, but it makes them look good. And also, if for example, the portfolios of HSBC or Crédit Agricole shift at all, it's not, I don't think, going to be because of the Green Climate Fund. I think it's going to be because of the way the world is the direction the world is moving, where, you know, institutional investors are demanding divestment or at least a move away from fossil fuels. And you have concerns about things like stranded assets because you have unburnable carbon. So I think it's more about greenwash than it is about actually shifting the portfolio of these large entities. And I think sort of at a more basic level, the Green Climate Fund is there to serve the needs of ordinary people in developing countries, and it's hard to see why very scarce public resources for climate should be diverted away from, you know, developing country institutions and instead be placed in, you know, these massive multinational banks. And you could also say to some extent the same thing about the multilateral development banks. At this point, every single multilateral bank that's around, from the World Bank to the Asian Development Bank, the African Development Bank, the European Investment Bank, they're now all accredited with the Green Climate Fund. And again, this was Green Climate Fund is supposed to be an alternative to these big banks. That's why it was created. So it's not the direction we want to go. We want to see the Green Climate Fund going into, but at the same time, they are making strides to accredit developing country entities. Like I said, in Kenya, they exist in Kenya, in Rwanda, in Peru. I mean, there's a whole host of them. But that part is just going too slowly. It's instead of spending any time on working with HSBC or World Bank, the GCF's full resources should actually, in my opinion, be devoted to working with developing country institutions at the national level, at the subnational level, and really a lot more resources need to be devoted towards engaging multiple stakeholders like civil society, like affected communities, like indigenous peoples. That's where I think the energy of the GCF should be going towards.
Is there anything going towards that now? Are there any specific things that are being done? Or
yeah, I mean, there's a whole program. It's called Readiness, which they increased funding of at this past meeting. That the whole purpose of that is to get developing country institutions ready to work with the GCF, increase their capacity, develop pipelines for projects. They also decided for the first time to give money for a project. It's called a Project Pipeline Facility for Rwanda, to help them, again, develop projects to eventually be funded by the GCF. And also, you know, the goal is also to have them ready to work with other institutions and have sort of country programs that are more holistic in how a country approaches climate change. So they're doing that, but it's really frustrating to see that the priority that's also been given to working with these big international institutions. And that really does come at the expense in some ways of the developing countries' institutions, because the GCF is, you know, limited in resources and what it can do. And so to have resources devoted to in the direction of international institutions as opposed to developing country institutions is troubling, not to mention the fact that at this point the GCF really does fall short when it comes to engaging, you know, civil society and affected communities within the developing countries. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. At the same time, this is a very new institution, and it's got a lot of growing pains that it's going through.
Right. And another issue that we did cover before last time was the imbalance in accreditation of national regional entities versus international. So this is still a persisting issue today.
Yeah, no, it's a big problem. I mean, the group of entities that they just accredited maintains that lopsided balance. And also, if you look at projects that are more likely to get funded this year, they tend to be through international entities. In some ways, it's hard because there's this rush to get money out the door, and the institutions that are more ready to receive the money are international institutions that have been around a long time, that have been doing this to, you know, that have better fiduciary standards in place. But the whole point of the GCF is also to be an alternative model to the multilateral development banks, to really have decision-making devolved to the country level and to the subnational level, and to have the direction that the direction that a country takes with regards to climate change really actually come from the people of the country. And there there's a tension between getting institutions in developing countries ready to do this work and getting money out the door quickly, because you don't want environmental integrity and social safeguards to come at the expense of expediency of getting money out the door quickly. And a lot of the developing country institutions have work to do in order to get the safeguards in place. At the same time I say that, I also am very cognizant of the fact that, you know, the International Finance Corporation, the World Bank, they have some safeguards, but, you know, a lot of times they look fine on paper, but they're not actually implemented. So, you know, there's a lot of contradictions in all of this, and it's not like we should be holding up, you know, the Asian Development Bank or African Development Bank as, you know, the model institutions that developing country organizations, institutions have to emulate.
Right. And as far as the next step, what is the next step for the Green Climate Fund?
Well, they have a goal. It's very aspirational of trying to fund $2.5 billion worth of projects for 2016. I think it would be really hard for them to do that. And so they decided to do 4 meetings this year instead of 3 because they have so much to get done. And so at the next 3 meetings, they're aiming to approve projects. So they approved 8 their very first 8 projects in November of last year, and they didn't approve any this time because they're trying to get policies in place to actually have a better approval process. Unfortunately, a lot of what they were supposed to get to, they didn't get to, although they did approve a strategic plan that's supposed to sort of set out the vision for the fund. It's pretty generic. It's not, you know, in part because the board itself can't come to great agreement about what it really is about. But so that the next 3 meetings, they'll be approving projects, and they're going to also be accrediting more entities. There should be more, I think, more developing country entities ready to be accredited. And I think they'll need to be really ramping up their capacity building work for institutions in developing countries. And they're going to be piloting some initiatives on, it's called Enhanced Direct Access, which involves greater devolution of decision-making to the country level and more local. And then they're going to be piloting several private sector initiatives, one on for micro, small, and medium enterprises in developing countries, so local private sector, and then one on mobilizing funds at scale, which is likely to be, you know, involving, you know, big banks and things like that. So we'll be watching out for these. None of these have actually started rolling out yet, but they will soon.
Great. We'll be waiting for all the updates. And I want to thank you again, Karen, for taking the time out to speak with Real World Radio. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And I just wanted to add one more thing is I think one thing that is really important is to really get more engagement at the national, local levels by civil society, by NGOs, by, you know, your average person, so that the becomes an institution that's responsive to the needs of the people and not driven by either what rich countries want or even always what a government wants, right? Like a developing country government, they're often at odds. Any government, the U.S. government, you know, I'm living in the U.S., governments are not always responsive and representative of the people. So it's up to the people to sort of demand that the Green Climate Fund or whatever institution does what is needed as opposed to does what, you know, corporations want or rich elites want. We need to get really good engagement at the local, national level in developing countries. And that's happening, but it's pretty slow.
Absolutely. And I understand there is an online petition against HSBC and Crédit Agricole, so we'll make sure to post that on our webpage as well.
And there's going to be soon sort of a website that's set up sort of as a watch to keep as a watchdog for the Green Climate Fund for civil society around the world. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of months too. That'll
Great.
Be important.
Wonderful. We look forward to hearing more about that and covering that. Yep. Thank you very much, Karen. Really appreciate you speaking with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.